Psalm 37, verse 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices, but because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fret not, he says. Fret not. Amen. The psalmist, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, talking to the believer, says we should fret not. Fret not. Fret not. You don't hear that much anymore. You don't have many country people left, but you used to hear that. Fret not. You remember that, Sister Brenda? People would say, fret not. Don't worry about it. Don't get upset over it. Don't lose sleep over it. Fret not. Now, there's some things that people fret over, and I guess we all do sometimes. I do. Even though I'm admonished to fret not, even though I'm told not to in the Word of God, sometimes I wake up at night and I fret. You ever wake up at night and fret? You ever can't go to sleep because of fretting? Amen. We worry about our children. We worry about our grandchildren. We worry about the state of things in our country and things like that. Sometimes I wouldn't call it worry. I would call it a serious concern. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. It is wrong not to be concerned. So don't mistake concern for worry. It's not always worry. Worry is saying, I don't believe God can take care of it. Concern is saying, God, I want you to take care of this. So we lay there and we pray. We get up, we go in another room, we pray. Can't get our mind off of it. We sometimes we'll try to read something. I can't read the Bible when I get up, because if I do, it wakes me up. I'll be up all night. Most people, it puts them to sleep. It wakes me up. Amen. And so, but there's some reasons that we do worry. There's some reasons that we fret. We all do. Doubt causes us to fret. Amen. We doubt things are going to turn out the way they ought to. Easter Sunday was my sinful fretting. I was worried about it. I wasn't here the week before, so I was seriously concerned. How about that? And I visit all week, and I make calls, and I send emails, and I send Facebook messages, and I send all kinds of stuff trying to get people to come to church, you know, and reminding them to come to church. Some of y'all probably get aggravated at me. I do it so much. But trying to remind, and then I try to find new people. You know, I'm always hunting for new people. I'm a fisher of men. I'm always looking for another one to get to come. And, boy, I was just worried about Easter, you know. I was worried about the week before, but I was really worried about Easter. And so I show up, and it exceeded all of my expectations. Are you listening? I wasted a lot of worry. I wasted it. I lost sleep over something I should have just trusted the Lord over. And look, it was because of doubt. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I doubted how things were going to turn out. But it turned out good. And then sometimes we fret because of ignorance. Now, if I'm ignorant in a certain area, that doesn't mean I'm stupid. It just that means I don't have all the facts. Our newspapers are now full of ignorance. There's a major change bought up all our newspapers. Ours is owned by McClatchy organization. They just bought the one in Chester recently, and I think they bought the one in Kershaw. They own thousands of little, and they manipulate our society by what they put in those newspapers, because if it was in the newspaper, it had to be true.
I saw it on the evening news. It's got to be true. You know, and they manipulate people because of people's ignorance. People's ignorance. A lot of times we'll see people marching in the street and tearing up stuff and destroying stuff and cussing and fussing. And I equate that to ignorance. They don't have all the facts. If they had the facts, they'd be thankful for what's going on, not unthankful. But sometimes we are ignorant of God's words, God's commands, God's promises, and sometimes we're ignorant. So we fret about it. We worry about it. And then sometimes it may be because of sin. Sin. Sin has results, and we sin. We sin as hard as we don't want to. We still sin sometimes, and we worry about now. I've done this. What's going to happen? The old devil, he'll come over here, and boy, he'll get on this shoulder, and he'll tell you how good it is. Now, ooh, this is going to be good, and boy, oh, you just got to do this and do that, and then after you do it, he camps out over here, and he says, "Uh-oh. You're in trouble now. God knows it. Your neighbor knows. Everybody else knows it. You're in trouble now." And then we fret because of our sin. Amen. We do. Look, if you can sin and it don't make you worry about it, there's something wrong with you. You ought to worry about it. God still chastens His children. The wage of sin is still death. Payday someday. It's going to happen. So we fret because of sin. We fret because of sin sometimes. Because we did it, now we know there's a result to what we did. There's got to be a result to what we did. Are y'all listening? Amen. Are you still awake? Yes. Amen. Stick with me. Is anybody cold? My wife complained about being cold sometimes. Are you cold, Terry? She's my thermometer. If you get cold, go. The thermostat's in the hall there, and there's no vents in there. So whatever we set it on, it could be 30 degrees in there and still be 70 in the hall. So if you get cold, go bump it up one, okay? But we fret, and we worry. And sometimes we're ignorant, and sometimes we doubt. So today, I want to just for a few minutes, just for a few things, I want to show you some things that God's children should not worry about. I want to show you just a few things that God's children, we that claim to be children of God, we who are saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God, we who profess the name of Christ, there are some things that we just certainly should not fret about. Okay? These things do not involve ignorance. They do not involve doubt. They don't involve sin. These are some promises of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 will tell you one. Hebrews 13:5, turn there. Verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The number one thing we should never fret over is that we should never feel forsaken by God. Amen. He's promised many times over and over, "I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the age." And right here he says it again. "I will not." He will not forsake us. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what I did." Yeah, but I've got his promise that he's not going to forsake you. I had a friend of mine that was raised Free Will Baptist, and they think you can lose your salvation. And that's just the way they're taught. And so he came to me one day. He said, "I finally saw what you folks mean by eternal security. I finally saw it." He said, "Y'all showed me the verses. My pastor showed me the verses. I never saw it. But something happened between me and my son last week. And it was so terrible. I'm not going to tell you what he did. It was so terrible. And I really got upset. And I really got mad. And I beat the devil out of him." He said, "But I realized this. My God looks at me as his son through Jesus Christ. I've been adopted into his family. And he may whip me, but he'll never forsake me. He'll never cast me off." And he said, "I finally saw it, that he would go with me. No matter what happened, he's going to be there. It's not up to me. It's all up to him. It's all him. It's not me." And boy, when you get that settled, you'll realize that he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. You say, "Preacher, you don't know how I failed him. You don't know what I've done." Well, let me stop. Just stop that thought for just 1 second and listen to this thought. Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. Time means nothing to God. He saw the past, he saw the present, and he saw the future before you were ever created. He knew you. He told Isaiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He already knew you. Now, don't you think that that same God, that he knew you before you ever existed, and that he was going to save you one day, and you were going to receive his son, don't you think that that same God knew what you would do after you got saved? Amen. Then why would he have saved you if he knew that he was going to have to cast you off one day? He didn't save you to cast you off. He saved you to keep you. Now, you don't have to worry about being forsaken by God. Now, sometimes we'll go somewhere like Chester, South Carolina, and we'll say, this is a God-forsaken place. And it may look God-forsaken, but I'm guaranteed there's some children down there that belong to God, and God will never forsake his children. Amen. It looks God forsaken for all the godless ones that are not there, that are there. The godly ones are there, and he's keeping them. Amen? Now, we need to realize we will never be forsaken. Now, you may have had a mother or father that forsook you. I never knew my dad. I've never met him. Don't even know his name. I consider that forsaken, don't you? You might have never known your mother. Something might have happened. You may have known. We've known mothers to run off and leave their children. I would consider that forsaken, wouldn't you? There may be a woman that her husband forsook her, or a man that his wife forsook him in here today, or something has happened. A friend forsook you. Just you thought you'd be forever. But I've got news for you. God's not man. God's nothing like we are. God's holy, holy, holy. God will keep his word, and he will never, never, never forsake you. You say, but preacher, no, there's no buts about it. It had nothing to do with you. It's all about the grace of God. You didn't deserve it when you got saved, and you'll never be good enough to stay saved. And when you get to heaven, he says in Ephesians 2 that you can't brag about how you got to heaven, because he did it all. It's all him. None of it was you. All you did was ask. All you did was receive it. Now, number one, you'll never have to fret about being forsaken by God. And when the devil comes and tells you that God's forsook you, you look at the devil and you say, devil, you a lie. Amen. You're not a liar, you a lie. You're a lie. Everything about you is a lie. Why would I believe you? You lied to me before I accepted Christ. And now you're lying to me to try to get me out of the will of God. And I'm not going to do it because you're a liar. And if you say it, I know it's a lie and God's truth. And I'm just going to stick with God. Amen? Amen. Number two, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, some of you need this today. Now, listen, I'm a pastor. I try to preach evangelistic sometimes to get people saved. But usually I know the people coming in here on Sunday morning, I know what you need, and I pray over it. And this is what some of you need especially today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be blood or bond or free, and have been made all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You see that? If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hear? Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. Skip down to verse 27. You'll read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time. Now ye are the body of Christ. And look at this. And members in particular. Nobody else can take your place. In particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles. We don't have apostles anymore. They were the hand chosen 12. They're gone.
First apostles, second layer prophets. We don't have any prophets anymore. We've got the word of God. We don't need a prophet. Okay? And then thirdly, teachers. And after that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracle? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the gifts, the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way. And he talked about there in chapter 13 that love is the greatest gift that you'll ever have in the local church, okay? So here's what you need not to fret over. You don't need to fret about feeling useless in the local church. You don't need to fret over that. You don't need to worry about, I don't do anything. I'm not useful. You are useful. You are. You know, I hardly ever think about this big old thing right here. It's called an ear. But if I didn't have that thing, I'd be as hard of hearing as you are. These teenagers, they're all hard of hearing. They go deaf when they turn 13. See that thing right there? That big old thing. Billy, you see that? Mind you, about the same size. I hardly ever noticed that thing. But if I didn't have it, I'd be in a world of hurt. I tell you, when I found out, when they told me I had cancer on my nose, and that doctor went there and cut it, and he come back 30 minutes later and said, I'm sorry, we tested it. We don't have it all. We got to do it again. So he cut it again. And then about 30 minutes later, he come back. He said, I'm sorry, we didn't get it all. We got to cut it again. They cut my nose 3 times. And I asked that man, I said, you going to be working on my nose? He said, yeah. He's supposed to be a plastic surgeon. And I said, can you make me look like Clint Eastwood? He said, I don't think so. But I went home and I took that bandage off and I looked in the mirror and I cried. I told my wife, I said, this man has destroyed my nose. I had stitches all everywhere and it all swollen up. And before that, I'd hardly gave any much thought about my nose. But then later on, I found out that I had a grandfather that died with cancer. That they didn't cut him out back then. He had cancer on his nose and it got bigger and bigger and it ate the whole nose off and then it ate all of this off. And he died with skin cancer. Now, you may think you're not important. I bet that nose don't feel like it's very important, but I feel like it's greatly needed. Amen? Amen. My wife says I have superhuman smell. All my kinfolks say that, don't they, Terry? She says it's true. I can walk in the house, smell something nobody else smells. And it's important to me. Everybody in here have a little toe? You got a little toe? You don't think much about your little toe till you break it. You get up in the middle of the night and you're stumbling through the house and that little toe runs into the corner or something. Your religion will come out. You'll say, glory to God in the highest. Praise God. Well, thank you. Hey, you'll become Pentecostal. You'll speak in unknown tongues that night. But see, you don't think it's important until you're about to lose it. You don't think it's very important until you're about to lose it. Amen? And I've got news for you. This local body, everybody in here is important. Now, you think that you can just stay out of church and nobody misses you. Well, I want you to look at one man that knows everybody that's out. And when they're out, I don't get mad at them. I worry about them. And other people notice when you're out and when you're going through things. They notice and they're concerned and you're worried that nobody really cares about you and you'll never know because when you're missing, it hurts the rest of the body and you're not part of the body. You're over yonder somewhere else and maybe at Walmart on Sunday or something, you know. And the body's sitting over here without a little toe. And we can't walk real good without you. We can't hear real good without you. We can't smell real good without you. And everybody got a little finger? Do you have a little finger? Ain't no, your finger little. You got a little finger? That thing, man, you big hands. And one time I worked machine shop. And, of course, when you're doing things you ain't supposed to, you always get hurt, right? Well, they had my machine set up for a left-handed man.
and I had a drill press, and I'm not left-handed. So I would reach over there and take my, part and put it in, and I had on rubber glove, and it'd go by that spinning thing, and that spinning thing caught my rubber glove and twisted. I mean, just like that. And I knew what happened because that little finger got numb. And I pulled that glove. Well, it pulled the glove off. And I looked down there, and that little finger was turned upside down, laying across there. It was broke right there. This finger was turned all the way upside down. The fingernail was on the bottom. And if I'd had my ring on, it would have cut that finger off. I didn't have it on. You have to take them off when you work machine shop. And so they take me to the emergency room, and that doctor looks at it, and he messes with it a little bit, you know. He gives me some shots. He takes this one, just jerks it out and turns it right side up and sticks it back. This one, they x-ray it. He taped it to that one. I said, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "If I don't, that thing ain't going to be no good. It's just going to flop around. It ain't going to be no good." So he taped it to that one. He jerked it and set it, and then he taped it to that one. But he gave me shots. And I had an appointment to go to another doctor later on to check it, and they x-rayed it, and I went in there, and he unwrapped it and everything. Let me see. He looked at it like, I thought it was well. He looked at it and felt good to me. He reset it. It'd been 2 months, and he reset it. My tears was rolling down my face. I couldn't breathe. It took my breath. I said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "It wasn't set right. You didn't want it growing crooked, did you?" I said, "Why didn't you give me a shot or something?" They gave me one in the emergency room. He said, "This ain't the emergency room. It's over. It's done." He taped it up and sent me back home. I never knew how painful it could be to have an injured little finger. And you know what? You might think you're a little finger in here, but this church hurts when you're hurt. And this church, hey, you cut that thing off, you'll notice it. Did you know I still can't hold change in that hand, sis? If I hold change, the dimes and pennies fall right through because that finger don't close like that one does because it's been broke. It won't do it. And the same way in this church, we might go ahead and get along without you, but it ain't going to be the same without you. Don't you ever fret and think that you're not valuable in this local church because you don't fill the pulpit or you don't lead the singing or the choir, you don't teach Sunday school. This is a body and everybody's got a part in the body. And the Word of God says every part is valuable. Don't you fret and think people don't miss you. They do. Don't you think people think bad about you? They don't. They love you and they miss you. And I got to hurry. I preached too long on that, but somebody must have needed it. Look at John 14, 1 through 3. All of you already know it. And after you get there, you'll see Jesus is talking, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "My Father's house were many mansions." He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." You know what? You should never fret or worry about your future. We read it this morning in Sunday school, "In all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths." Look, you get saved, you get in the will of God, and then it's his job. You know, he said he'll give you the desires of your heart. We read that in Sunday school in Psalms this morning, at Proverbs. And did you know what that means? That doesn't mean that he'll give you everything you desire. What that means is he'll put his desires in your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So if you walk with the Lord and live for the Lord after being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you do that, you lose your desires and his desires become your desires, he puts those in you. See? And you don't need to fret about the future. If you're in him and he's in you, those things that you're going through, every bit of it is for your good and for his glory. And in the end, his desires are going to be your desires. And then in the end, after that, you're going to heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said something to me one day. I said, "Listen, Don't worry about me. I'm going to heaven when I die. This is worse I'm ever going to have it right here. This is as close to hell as I'll ever be. I'm going to heaven. You're talking about a little old poor boy that grew up without a daddy and a family of nine and a mama working in the cotton mill, and we didn't know it. We knew it. They told us sometimes. We was white trash. And now I've got a mansion in heaven. Why would I worry about everything? Between here and heaven is icing on the cake. Amen? Between here and heaven, just icing on the cake. This is not my heaven. This is where He puts His desires in my heart, and I live for Him. And I'm not worried about my future because He holds my future in His hands.
Amen.
If I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it. Amen?
Amen.
If I have to, hey, if I end up in the hospital with some terrible disease and the doctor comes in there and says, I'm sorry you caught this, I'll just have to say, I didn't catch nothing. The Lord gave me this. For some reason, all things work together for the good of them that love God and for His purpose. Now, for some reason, He's putting me through this. It must be good for me. And the people around me, too, by the way. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. All you got to do is say cancer, and 15 Christians will fall on the altar. You know why? They worry. You know why they worried? Well, their case is either ignorance or sin. They're afraid God's getting them for something. Or either ignorant of what I just told you. I'm not worried about my future. My future is in His hands. Amen? Put it in His hands. Why don't you quit trying to take care of it? You made a mess of it up till the day He saved you. What makes you think you're going to do any better now? Put it in His hands. If all your friends forsake you, put it in His hands. If your wife leaves you, put it in His hands. Your husband leaves you, put it in His hands. Hey, if your children turn their back on you, put it in His hands. And you'll be a whole lot happier if you put it in His hands than you trying to hang on to it and manipulate everything.
Amen.
You still with me?
Amen.
Still love me, don't you?
Amen. Come on.
All right, don't want to make you mad today. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, I'm talking about some things that we should not fret over. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I heard a preacher this week, he read a little tiny portion of Scripture. And then he left his Scripture, and he never mentioned another Scripture the whole sermon. He never even went back to the one that he started with. And I left so disappointed. I thought, I come to hear the Word of God. I don't care which team you played on. I don't care what your position was. I don't care what your coach's name was. I don't care what your third grade teacher's name was. Give me some Scripture, man. Now, if you can mix all that in with Scripture, I'm a happy camper. But please, give me some Word. And one time somebody complained and said, Preacher Ron, I can't keep up with you. You got so many Scriptures. Well, just sit there and listen. I'm going to read you the right one, the King James Version. And just listen, because look, faith comes by here. And look at this one, 1 Peter 5:7. In verse 7, he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Have you ever heard anybody say this when you're talking about prayer and seeking God? They say, well, I just don't want to bother God with that. I'm afraid I'm bothering God. I pray all the time. I've prayed that for years and years, and I'm afraid that God just gets tired of hearing it. God never gets tired of hearing it.
Amen.
You can't bother God. Matter of fact, it is His command, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You can't bother God. That's like one of my grandkids afraid they're going to bother Pawpaw. My grandkids can stand on my head and it don't bother me. I get a little bit ill. But hey, I'm not going to quit going to see them because they stood on my head. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, I got those two little boys and they get out of bed running. And then they don't go to sleep until they fall running. Charity put a picture of Greer. He just turned 3. On Facebook the other day, and he was laying across 2 wooden chairs, sound asleep. And she said, this is where he landed. I don't have the energy. I don't think girls are like that. I don't think my girls, they might have been. I was just blind. I don't know. I have a bad memory sometimes. But I think little boys are a special gift from God. You got to be a special person to put up with them. I mean, them boys, pop-paw, 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 pop-paw. I've even had Rhett come over there and take, say, "Pawpaw, listen." And you know, it really didn't bother me. I was happy he wanted to talk to me. Amen? Aren't you happy when your kids, your grandkids want to have something to do with you, when they want to talk to you, when they want to play with you? God's a better parent than we are. Amen. You can't bother God. I heard this preacher one time. Now, y'all know everybody says their preacher's not, right? You know, a lot of jacklegs, we used to call them. You know, that they're self-appointed, self-called, self-sent, self-everything, because they want a title or something. So they really don't know a lot about the Bible. And I'm not being mean to them. I'm just giving you a fact. And the reason I said that is because this preacher said this. "I only pray for something one time." While he's preaching, he said that, and I'm sitting there. What happened to pray without ceasing? What ever happened to call upon me? He said, "I pray one time. I ask for something one time, and because I think if you pray more than that, you're showing a lack of faith." Now, you know, a little Bible knowledge will ruin a whole lot of good preaching. What they think is good preaching. And I thought to myself, I'm glad my kids ain't like that. I'm glad my kids will come back and come back and come back and come back and come back, unless it involves change. They never came back when there was... You remember that, Billy? Yeah. "Daddy, can I have $10 to go get this?" "Well, I only have a 20. "Okay." Give them 20. They never come back and say, "Daddy, here's your change." Amen. But the point is, you don't have to fret about that. You call and 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 you call. And let me tell you something. It pleases God when you call. That's what prayer is. He wants you to call him. He wants to communicate. And it'll draw you closer to God when you call and you call and you call. And then finally the answer comes and you praise God and give him all the glory. And you didn't bother him. He wanted you to. He was waiting till he knew you that you were where he wanted you to be. And he wanted you to keep calling till you got there. We don't have to fret about that. We don't have to fret about being forsaken. We don't have to fret about feeling useless. We don't have to fret about the future. We don't have to fret about bothering God. And then 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I want you to mark Jude in your Bible. Turn over to Jude. I want everybody to know this verse. And mark Jude, verse 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." You don't have to fret about feeling forgiven. Amen. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful. Not you. He's faithful and just. That's the right thing to do. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you don't ever have to fret about feeling forgiven. You see, you don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Your flesh will lie to you. You can't go by what you feel. Amen, Brother Billy? We can't go by what we feel. I mean, some of y'all think we Christians jump out of bed every morning on both feet and say, "Woo, glory to God! Woo, saved, going to heaven! Woo!" No, I told you before, there's two kind of people. Some of them get up on the side of the bed and say, "Good morning, Lord." And then there's us who get up and sit on the side of the bed and say, "Good Lord, this morning." You think we always feel forgiven? Do you not think that our old flesh lies to us, our mind lies to us, our spirit sometimes lies to us, the devil lies to us, sometimes people lie to us? And by the way, don't worry about what people think about your forgiveness. They're not the ones that's got to forgive you. God is. And whether they forgive you or not, God forgives. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you ought not worry about that. Did you get born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Did you call on Him, put it all on Him? Then you're forgiven. You say, but preacher, I've sinned since then. Did you confess it as sin? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our what? I thought shortcomings. I thought it was mistakes. That's what people say. Well, I made a mistake. No, you sinned. Well, I've got a shortcoming. No, it's a sin. And you need to go to God and say, God, I sinned. I knew what I was doing when I did it. I knew I'd not do it, but I did it anyway. God, forgive me. God, help me. God, cleanse me. And it'll be put under the blood. It'll be thrown in the sea of forgetfulness behind God's back. It'll be removed as far as the east is from the west. And God will never bring it up again.
Amen.
Now, your neighbors will. Others will, but God will never bring it up again. You don't have to fret about that. Don't worry about feeling forgiven. We don't go by feelings. Let me ask you something. Last question. I'm going to ask you one question. Serious. Now, I'm serious. We're not saved by feelings. We're saved by faith. But if you doubt your salvation, if you doubt that you've been eternally forgiven and that you've received Jesus as your Savior, sometimes that might be the Holy Spirit. Now, some people, they join a church, sign a card, they think they got saved, and the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not. That's not the new birth. That's joining an organization. You didn't get saved. I was talking to a man the other day, and he said this. I thanked him for letting his son come to church, and this is what he said. He said, my son's always been a Christian. He said, he was raised in a Christian home. And I said, sir, I want to remind you, we all must be born again. I said, I understand what you're saying, but he must be born again. And I'm glad he got born again. He said, oh, yeah, me too. But he didn't know what I meant. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about being born again, being saved, being receiving Jesus your Savior, that's probably the Holy Spirit. You're not fretting over something that's not real. You're fretting over something that's real. And don't let the devil deceive you. God, the Holy Ghost, wouldn't be dealing with your heart about it if you were not already. Look, you must be born again. Now, God, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you if you're saved or not saved. Only God the Holy Ghost will tell you that. So have you been born again? Now if you're fretting over that, you might want to get that straight today. You might want to come down. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.